Psalm 104, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the fountains of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coveredst it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and the great beasts. There go the ships where there is that Leviathan, whom Thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That Thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest Thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest Thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, and Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. In the first section, I have it as verses 1 through 9. Note, the Lord is praised in this section for His wise creation. First of all, David, and I believe it's David, although it is an orphan psalm, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," which is what we heard him say in 103. And it ends in, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," yet again. And so it would be a reasonable conclusion to call it Davidic. perhaps not a dogmatic conclusion, but reasonable. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Now, what honor and majesty is the Lord clothed with, we might ask? In verses 2 through 7, sorry, through 9, David praises God for the work of his creation, everything that God has done. Creation bears witness to his greatness, his honor, and his majesty. He is praised for his purity and excellence and wisdom in creating all. Notice he has covered himself with light, wisdom, as a garment. And so we see God's wise creation. We see how that it ties together, it hangs together, it fits together, that the connections and the relationships in the creation are beyond our understanding. He stretches out the heaven, and in that the Lord stretches out the heavens, well, let's put it this way. Maybe some of you this week made your beds. I hope so. And in so doing, what did you do? You stretched out the sheets, didn't you? If you stretched out the sheets, what does that say about your relationship to the sheets? You're greater than the sheets. The Lord stretches out the heavens. What does that say about the Lord's relationship to the heavens? He's greater than the heavens, right? We do not identify God and the heavens. That would be pantheism. No, God is transcendent above His creation. He's the one who stretched them out in the first place. This is what David is saying. He created the seas, and so He is greater than they are, as wide and as expansive as the seas are. And the phenomena in the heavens, the wind, the clouds, all of these things are commanded by Him as well. Also, He rules over those unseen things, the heavenly forces. Though great in power and might, they are His servants. The earth itself, He laid the foundations of it. That means He's greater than the earth. There is a remembrance of the judgment of the Lord that is wrought with the flood. When David talks about the flood that washed down from the hills or washed up upon the hills and down from the valleys, and then finally the Lord said what? He put a band there and He said, "Hitherto shalt thou go and no further, and thus shall thy proud waves be stayed." Right? Now mankind has spent innumerable amounts of money and time and energy to hold back the sea with very limited, and we might even say in some cases, with absolutely no success. But do you know why? Because it is God who has set the boundaries of the seas. So then there is a remembrance of that judgment, so the Lord rules over the earth and the seas, and then finally He keeps them within their bounds. And that takes the first section. In the next section, beginning in verse 10, God is extolled not for His creation, but for His providence. Right. Creation and providence. So here we have, He sends rain and springs out of the hills. He waters the earth, giving life to it and to countless in the animal kingdom. He causes the food chain to work. In other words, He gives grass to the cattle who become food for mankind. The rain also makes the fruit of the vine to grow, and God sends the rain. The rain makes the olive tree to grow, the olives to grow for oil to give health and comfort to man. This also comes from the hand of God. The Lord reigns over the field and causes grains to grow for the strength of man's health. The Lord's trees are full of sap. They are not dried because the Lord is a bountiful provider. The birds make their nests in His trees, and the Lord gives the shelter in the rocks for the conies. What's a coney? I don't know. I think it's something like what we have in the Sierras called a pika. Anybody know what a pika is? It's kind of like a rock rabbit or a rock badger. And by rock there, I'm not talking about music. They live in the rocks. And then the Lord gives shelter in the rocks and in the hills, for He is good to all of His creation. And so we see the Lord's bounty, well, we see His wisdom in His creation and His wisdom and bounty in His providence. Then in the next section, which ends in verse 30, He goes on again to praise God for His providence. The sun, the moon, the dark, the light, They all belong to the Lord. He has ordained them, and He rules over them. Wild animals, even, are not left to themselves. They, too, seek their times and their shelter and their meat from God. The Lord feeds them and cares for them. Mankind also labors under God, and labor is a gift from God. We might pull up there for a moment and ask ourselves, is that how we see our labors? As gifts from God. Not any longer then able to contain himself, the psalmist breaks out in praise. How manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. And so David here praises God in his creation and in his providence for his manifold wisdom. The sea and all that in it also is ruled by God. Notice how the psalmist follows the outline of the fourth commandment. Heaven, earth, sea, and all that is therein. Heaven, earth, sea. As he praises God, he follows that same outline in Psalm 104. Not only created, but ruled by him as well. He is no disconnected God. All right, so then the final section, verses 31 through 35. In the very first part of that section, we see why God made all these things. Why did he do it? Why would God expend this kind of energy? Not that it diminishes him at all to expend energy. Why did he do it? Are you ready? Notice, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. That's why. He did it because he takes pleasure in doing it. He took pleasure in creation. He takes pleasure in providence because in creation and providence, he reveals his majesty, his honor, and his glory. That's why he did it. It wasn't because he got lonely, was it? All right, so then one more statement about the judgment and superintendence of God in verse 32. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. This too is contained under the paradigm of God rejoicing in his works. In other words, it's not just what we've read about already that, you know, the animals, they're just doing their thing and happily living before God, and mankind goes to his labor and the Lord provides for him, and it's all happiness and fineness and hunky-dory. You know, it's not like that at all, because sometimes God touches the earth and it melts, or it quivers, it shakes, they smoke. He sends affliction, he sends calamity, but even in that, the Lord is rejoicing over all his works. And then the only proper response for God's people: I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So, looking upon creation and providence for the believer, what does that elicit from us? What does that raise up in us? Praise. Because we have special revelation. We know how to interpret the world around us. We know that it is God who causes the animals to grow and the trees of the forest and the birds to take nest. It is God who set the bounds to the sea. It is God who sends up the clouds and sends down rain. It is God who sends the springs that they run down and water the gardens and the food plots of the earth. It is God who causes the vapors to ascend and the rain to come down, keeping our plants watered, keeping our cattle alive, keeping us fed and caring for us. It is God who gives us the labor into our hands. And in the midst of all of that, what ought we to do? We ought to praise him. We ought to sing to the Lord as long as we live. Then the psalmist ends with, let sinners be consumed out of the earth, those who refuse to honor God as God. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. So he ends as he begins, blessing the Lord with his whole self. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.